The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
The cartoon is an instant communication of a funny idea done with a drawing.
Well, my next guest has been making her living from the art of drawing for over 40 years. She joined the New Yorker magazine as a cartoonist in the 70s and has been capturing America's biggest events ever since. Liza Donnelly joins me now. Liza, where do you get your ideas? To what extent are you taking the temperature of what's happening, and to what extent is it governed literally by what's going on in the news this week?
Heavily governed by that for my work. I'm always reading the news, watching the news, consuming the news on my phone, cultural, political. So you may not use what you read or pick up, but it's there in the back of your head. So you know, cartoonists of my kind need to sort of know what's going on in the culture and globally too now, because everybody's connected.
So how did you get into this as a profession, and the New Yorker in particular as well?
Yeah, well, it's a dream come true, really. I was a little shy girl growing up in Washington, D.C. during the civil rights movement and the Watergate and women's movement. And so I was really shy, and I drew to so I could be by myself. A lot of humorists do that. They like to, they find a way to cope by creating humor. And I found I could make my mother smile or laugh when I drew these cartoons. And then all that stuff was going on in the United States at that time. And I felt the turmoil as a kid, and it frightened me, I think. And I think I drew to try to understand it. And then when I got a little older, I thought, well, I'm not the kind of person that goes on a picket line or protests loudly. So I drew cartoons, political cartoons, that I thought would be of help.
Were there many women cartoonists at that time?
No. And I wasn't really aware of that at the time. Growing up, I just wanted to be a cartoonist. I wasn't thinking about gender. Although I have learned that there were women drawing cartoons in the early 1900s to try to get the suffrage vote, to get women the right to vote. And that's fascinating that they were using the cartoons, because cartoons are such a visual thing. And they're also cultural. So if you can see, if somebody draws something that's going on in the culture, it may resonate more clearly than reading an article about, you know, why women should have the right to vote. So there were those women. And then in the New Yorker, there were a couple of women when I started. And there had been women at the magazine, at the New Yorker, since 1925, but not very many.
And gender features in your work, in your cartoons. When you do a cartoon that in some way relates to gender, are you thinking, this is a message for female readers, or it's for male readers, or it's for both?
Depending
on the message.
Yeah.
Or do you have a particular message for male readers sometimes, as opposed to females?
I guess I do. I have to look at my stuff to put them in piles like that. But I just hit on a topic or something going on in the news that bothers me, and so I do a cartoon about it. When Hillary Clinton first ran for president in 2008, I believe, it was so aggravating to me, the sexism towards her as a candidate. You know, it was the first time we really had a serious woman running for president. And so I would do cartoons about that, about perceptions of women in politics. And then Sarah Palin joined the fray, and that was another level of dialogue about sexism. So that's when I take off. And I'm not necessarily thinking who I'm targeting it towards. I'm just commenting and hoping that somebody reads it.
President Donald Trump, the ultimate cartoonist.
Yeah.
Inspiration, I suppose. There's lots of material there. But what's interesting about it is how humor around Donald Trump changes, because in the first 6 or 12 months of his presidency, the whole focus was on his hair.
Mm.
And people talked about it, and people drew it, and they did funny things with it. They don't really talk about it anymore. They've just got used to it.
Yeah, right. There's only so much you can do with that. Plus, I don't know if you've noticed, his hair has changed. It's not so orange anymore, and his skin is not as orange as it was when he first became president. So, but I think you're right. I think, you know, I made fun of his hair too, but I think when he became president, I tried to tone down ridicule, even though I'm not that kind of cartoonist so much. I don't rely on poking at people as much.
Yeah, why did you tone down ridicule? Because if he's a political figure, is it not the case you say, well, any political figure is fair game?
That's true. I decided to focus on what he was going to do or what he was doing rather than the man, because I don't think... I still try to be helpful, so, and I don't think making fun of somebody necessarily gets you anywhere. Although, yeah, my model for years has been, and he's no longer with us, but Herbert Block for the Washington Post, who drew Nixon repeatedly during the Watergate era, and he drew Nixon with a 5 o'clock shadow, and he drew him kind of ugly looking, but not overly so. And he attacked what was going on, what Nixon was doing. So that's my model, is to try to focus
on the issues.
Yeah.
Are there particular times when that lend themselves to better humor or better cartoons? So, for example, I've noticed in Ireland when we had a really, really difficult economic recession, there were lots of cartoons and magazines that were almost kind of funnier on the back of the tough times. Mm. Do you think that, is that the way it works?
I don't know. I think you've hit on something, that there's maybe more material for the cartoonists to work with on that kind of scale, a sort of a cultural shift. I mean, I actually been watching what's going on in your country recently. You have all these referendums, and I think that's actually, they're really important things and serious things, but that's funny that you have so many referendums and so much change going on. So change can provide, and that's the point, is that humor relies on taking what we know and twisting it and making it unexpected, and that's often where you get the laugh, is when you're using something that's new and twisting it.
What about particularly difficult times, let's say, for example, in the United States, there's a tragedy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just about some things not working mm-hmm. out, but there is a big war, there is a conflict. Is it very difficult to deal with those topics through humor?
Sometimes it is. I mean, in fact, that's when you go towards the non-humorous cartoons, and sometimes just do a drawing about what happened. We've had a lot of shootings, as you know, mass shootings, and so to approach those, you need to comment. Well, there you can comment on gun controls. But tragedy is often really difficult to get a cartoon out of. 9/11 was horrible. I mean, I didn't know how to be a cartoonist for quite a while after that.
What about this phenomenon of live drawing? You do live drawing. Well, what exactly is that? And is it difficult? Is it challenging?
It can be, yeah. I actually, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I got an iPad and I was playing around and I started drawing what I saw on the television, which at that moment was the State of the Union address, and it was boring at that time. And I was drawing what I saw, and with the app I use, you could tweet it out immediately. So I did that. So the people who follow me were watching, or not, the TV as well, but they could follow what was happening through my drawings. And since those drawings the live drawings I do are sort of bold and can be colorful, it's something different on the Twitter stream. So I picked up on that. I noticed how interesting it was to people, and I just kept doing it for my own pleasure. And then I started getting hired to do it. I got a chance to go to the Democratic National Convention, and when I do things like that, I've sort of invented this, Richard. I'm really excited about it. I call it visual journalism, and not that it's not really new as a format, because there's been people drawing in the field for, you know, decades, I guess, but in real time. So my followers, people that see what I'm doing, are they feel like they're there with me. Yeah.
There isn't time for satire, I presume, is there? Or are there,
no,
there
I don't
little
usually,
bits and pieces along the way?
Yeah, maybe. Sometimes, depending on who I'm working for, but I will put my own commentary about whatever it is, either in the tweet or in the drawing itself. But this is more like my take on something. I went to the Women's March. I went to the inauguration. I've been to the Oscars 4 times now, the Tonys, and things like that. So it's people get to see the thing through my eyes, and it's my eyes that are showing them. Mm-hmm.
Liza Donnelly, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you
us
for
on
having
the
me. It's been a pleasure.